Welcome to the Christian Bible Study Ministry Podcast. I hope that this program finds you blessed, and I hope that everything is going well for you all, no matter where you're at or what your station in life is. I hope that you realize that you are blessed. I know that things are tough. You know, there's always some kind of toughness going on, it seems like. I know my pastor has said, if you're not going through a storm, you're either coming out of one or you're fixing to go into one. So, but just remember, y'all, that he is there. You know, and it might not feel like it sometimes. You might feel like you're at the absolute lowest point in your life, and you can't feel God's presence. You can't sense God's presence, but he is there if you belong to him. So, but the topic today is whether or not the rapture is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I honestly, after studying this, I feel led to do a study on the rapture, and I don't know where that's going to take me, but I feel like it's something that I need to look into, and it's something that is definitely, it's something that the church at large needs to examine so that everybody can see for themselves what the Word says about it. The rapture is the most significant event in the history of the world since the life of Jesus Christ. It will be the first time since then that God has directly intervened in the worldwide affairs of men. You know, Jesus Christ came, lived here for about 33 years, and he died. You know, he died and he rose from the dead, and then finally, at some point after that, he ascended back into the heavens. And since that time, we have not had a direct intervention on his part in this, you know, in the general affairs of the world. In the blink of an eye, untold millions of believers will vanish. The graves of the believing dead will be opened, and they will rise up first, and then those living saved will be taken up after that. This is a very, very, you can't overstate the importance of this event. No matter if you believe that it's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation, or pre-wrath, or whatever you want to call it, this is a significant event in which the church is delivered from the hands of the Antichrist. No matter what point in history this is, pre, mid, or post-tribulation rapture, you know, there's many different takes on this, and they do influence how you would read today's passage. I find it interesting, honestly, that the first seven English translations of the Bible, you know, the Word into English render a falling away. This is, by the way, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And, you know, it says a falling away, apostasy, as the departure or departing. You know, for some reason this was changed. I believe this was starting with the KJV Bible. And there is a lot that went into this that I have not covered. You know, and I've just, you know, but I think we might try to get into that a little bit later on here. We will go ahead and read now this passage in question. And we will read the first three verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Greek word that is translated here as falling away is apostasia, and it's the word, it's from where we get our modern word apostasy. The key thing here is to determine what this word meant to the original audience. You know, we have to look at it as in how they would have understood it. Paul had already done talk to them previously when he was in Thessalonica, and he had talked to them about the rapture, the coming of the Antichrist, and all these things. But somehow or another, after Paul left, the people of the church were deceived by a false teaching that the rapture had already happened and that the tribulation had already started. Paul was telling them, he was reminding them after receiving word of this, that two things must happen before the day of the Lord would come. And that is a falling away. You know, the other translations say it, you know, they have things like the rebellion, the apostasy, or in the early, as you know, in the first seven translations of the word into the English, something like a departure or the departing. So we must then understand what it is, you know, if it's the departing or departure, what is it a departure from? That's something that you must decide for yourself. What is it talking about? What is it talking about? And if it's a departure from the earth, then it means that the rapture is being referenced to when it says the apostasia, or the departing. It would mean that before the tribulation begins, Jesus Christ will come down into the heavens, not set foot on the earth, you know, according to my own honest personal belief, and we will gather up to meet him in the air. We will be delivered from the trials of the tribulation. You know, the rest of the world, you know, whoever gets saved after that will have to face the Antichrist and his persecution. And that's honestly, you know, nobody would want to have to face that. And so, yeah, that might be an incentive for thinking that the pre-tribulation rapture is what is going to happen, because, you know, nobody wants to face something like that. You know, a political leader, you know, a worldwide political leader who, a worldwide political and religious figure who wields absolute power and is able to persecute whoever he wishes. Nobody wants to face that. You know, they will be beheaded. You know, people who oppose them, who refuse allegiance to him, will be beheaded. And, you know, we also know that in the latter times, it is told to us in one of Paul's letters to Timothy that some will depart the faith and go after strange teachings. And we see this today. You know, you have people who have embraced all kind of strange, weird doctrines, you know, saying, you know, don't eat this meat or that kind of food, don't marry, you know, just strange doctrines. And the epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy, it says doctrines of devils. They will follow after strange teachings and doctrines of devils. And this has been going on ever since the church was established, you know, or at least shortly after the church was established. People started twisting the truth. They started, you know, twisting it for their own reasons, you know, their own personal gain. They did not follow the full, pure truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel being that he came and died for your sins. He is the only way. He is a person who died. He is God who died for you, rose from the dead, paid your sin debt. And all you have to do is have your soul baptized into Christ through faith. That is the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, y'all. Let me take a short break here. Okay, sorry, y'all, we're back. But it says, you know, in this epistle, it says that the Spirit says expressly, in the latter days, some shall depart the faith. Now, you read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you get the sense of that it could well be more than some. You know, it just has a sense of being very great. You know, if it's talking about a worldwide rebellion or apostasy, you know, it could well be that it's certainly true that the state of the world will certainly be this, that as when the Antichrist is revealed and his worship is set up, the whole world, you know, the world by and far at large, whoever is left, you know, will be people who worship the Antichrist. And so you could certainly say that the whole world, the, almost the whole entire planet at that point will be in a great rebellion against God, because they will have rejected his truth. They will have rejected Jesus Christ. So yeah, that will be a great rebellion. And so, and that must happen and if that's the case, then it would happen before Jesus Christ will come and set foot on the earth again and slay his enemy, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, Paul says in Timothy, I honestly can't remember which one it is, 1st or 2nd Timothy, but it says in Timothy, one of them, that some will depart the faith. Now, you have this in the church today where people are just kind of sometimes going off after strange things. And it could also well be that the church will grow in this state, you know, that this condition will grow within the church, and all kinds of people will be believing strange things at this time, you know, at the time of the rapture, or at the time of the day of the Lord. Excuse me, y'all. Let me break away from here for a minute. You know, but anyway, y'all, sorry again. We see that the word apostasia has a range of meaning. It can mean things like depart, defect, and other things like that. You know, it's more than just or it can mean separate. Things which indicate a separation or removal, or even, hey, perhaps a divorce. There's a large debate on this issue, and honestly, I cannot come to one solid choice other than to say that it could be a reference to all of these possibilities: a defection from the pure truth of the gospel of Christ, and at the same time, a physical removal of the church through the rapture. It could well be that all these things are going to happen at the same time, or they will all be going on at the same time. This departure would precede the revelation of the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, according to the pre-tribulation view. The rapture happens, and when the satanic figure of the Antichrist will become known worldwide, evil will reach its climax midway through his reign, and Jesus will personally kill him in hell. And I will add that we do not know his precise name, and we will not know it until the start of the last week of Daniel. You know, remember the 70 weeks of Daniel. 69 of those weeks have already passed, you know, with the death of Jesus Christ. That 69th week was ended. And so now we are waiting for the start of the seventh week, the final 7 years. There's an awful lot of debate over this whole subject, and it's at this point, I think it's best to say in conclusion that whether you think it means a general defection from the pure gospel, or whether you believe that it is indeed speaking of the rapture, the range of the word apostasia gives credence to both beliefs. You know, and whether you believe, you know, in the end, whether you believe in pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, pre-wrath, or post-tribulation rapture, I think we can all agree that the true objective here is to ensure that as many people as possible believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, so that, you know, no matter what the timing of the rapture is, the tribulation, that nobody will have to face the eternal fire of hell. That's the ultimate end goal here. And, you know, I just pray that if there's anybody out there discussing this subject with somebody, you know, that they keep it civil, of course, you know, because sometimes we can become so entrenched in our own opinions, you know, we get riled up when people disagree with us and things like that. I may have been guilty of that in the past myself, you know, and it's just not worth it, people, you know. But anyway, remember that the end goal here is to glorify Christ and to spread his kingdom, you know, by ensuring that as many people as possible have their names written in the book of life. And so I want to close this now. Lord, I pray that you will give us all some wisdom and understanding on this topic, you know, for the people who are being led to understand and study this issue here. I pray that somehow or another, that if it's possible, that somebody could be led to Jesus Christ through this. I pray that, you know, And I pray that this world, that the church would seek to be made even more ready for your return, you know, or when we even face, or if we face you face to face before then, you know, in the event that we die. I pray that we will be made ready to see you. I pray that we will study your word. I pray that you will speak to us and that you will, and that we will listen to you. I pray that, Lord, that you would just bless the church and help to open the hearts and minds of the people in the church, no matter where they are, to get them ready so that you can refine them as much as possible into what you want them to be. And it's in Jesus' name I pray this, Lord. Amen.